on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, in the Tower Club in downtown Fort Lauderdale and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by The Sportscast. Brought to you by, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Rocho. Brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is August 28th, 2025. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sportscast on all our channels, YouTube, X, Spotify, iTunes. And we are always streaming on your favorite podcast streaming channels. Look up Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Please leave a rating and a review, and it'll help us out tremendously. If you like what you hear today, please smash that like button on YouTube. Hit the notifications so you can hear all our shows each and every week and our past shows and our awesome guests that we have on our show. All righty, Mr. Byron Jones, how are you doing today? Byron? Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Is it me?
There you go. Byron, you there? All right, let's go. Let's bring to our stage our host. For some reason, I can't hear you, Byron. Why? You gotta love technology.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. What was it? Huh? Yeah. What was it?
You can now?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I can hear you now. What was it?
I don't know. A button. You know, I'm old. You know, old and forgetful.
That's funny. How you doing today? We got some big news. Big news today.
Yo, that's way past big news, man. That's like earth shattering. That's like the Giants trading, you know, Lawrence Taylor to the Eagles.
Exactly. Well, hold on. Let's bring on one of our favorite guests to the show. Mr. Papa Paul, welcome to the show, Papa Paul. He is Papa Paul is with the WCFL Dolphin Talk Show. Papa Paul, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. How are you?
Good, good. How are y'all doing tonight?
We are doing great. Shocked by the news. We're excited to talk about this. We're excited to talk about it. We probably should get into it right away, but you know, we got to start a little bit with the NFC East. We'll get into the big news in a little bit. So let's get into Tommy Cutlets got traded, Byron. He's on the Patriots.
Oh, he got cut and released. That's a difference. Okay. He got cut.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to give him a little bit better than that. What do you think about him being picked up though?
Nah.
Huh? What do you think about him being picked up?
You know, he's a good second or, you know.
Not second.
You think he's a good second? You know, third team, you know, quarterback. So.
Really?
He'd be a good second. You know, you only want little bits of him, not long term. Just, you know, 2-3 games, you know, like he did with us. That's all you need it for. But as long term, no.
Yeah. Papa Paul, I don't know if you know Tommy Cutlets.
No, I'm not familiar with him, so I can't really say.
He was undrafted. He's a Jersey boy. You know, they made some moves to get him on. So, God bless him. But I think he's more of a third, Byron, than I would say a second. Like, I don't know if I'd be, you know, I don't know if Papa Paul knew who he was, I don't think he'd want him behind Tua. I wouldn't want him behind Russell Wilson. No offense. God bless him. You know, hey, I wish him nothing but luck. Jersey boy making it to the NFL is amazing enough. But I don't think he's, you know, Brock Purdy's got to be I don't know about once in our lifetime, but you know, but there's not too many Brock Purdy's out there. Would you agree, Papa Paul?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a rarity.
Yeah, this is going to be a Disney movie. Remember, I said it several times in Jersey Boys Sports Talk. That is going to be a movie on Brock Purdy. They made one on Kurt Warner. And, you know, Kurt Warner's journey. I think he made the NFL at 28, no? And then yeah. he's going to be Mr. Yep.
Yeah, but he won a Super Bowl and was MVP. That's a little different.
Yeah, but it took him to 28 to make it into the NFL, though, where he went through Arena. Remember, he got cut. He was through Arena, and his faith kept him going, right? And then he happened to hit it on the right team. And then didn't he make it to the Hall of Fame, too?
Oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Fame, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer, so from his – that they made the story by him. So I'm assuming that movie's going to be called Mr. Irrelevant. So we should probably maybe we should chip in and we do the movie ourselves, right? Bye. All righty. Tommy Kavita get cut. Patriots claim Tommy DeVito. We just talked about that. What'd you think about the captains they selected? I was surprised that Malik Nabers wasn't there yet. Think it's too early for a receiver like that to be a captain?
Yeah, it's too early. You know, usually they pick like, you know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, quarterback, you know, the special teams guy like the punter or kicker, you know, one of those kind of guys. They usually don't pick, you know, like a wide – I've never seen a wide receiver go out there. Like, you know, they might have the C on the chest or whatever, but as far as like being a like a captain like that, nah, it's too early in his career.
And then I'm hearing the next headline I'm hearing with the Giants is the Giants are receiving trade calls for Jameis Winston and two others. What do you think, Papa Paul?
I've always liked Jameis Winston a little bit.
I'm sorry?
I've always liked Jameis Winston a little bit.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Byron?
Jameis ain't going anywhere. You know, he's the number two guy. You know, we need him. You know, maybe toward like we talked about this before. Maybe toward like the middle of the season, if somebody else's quarterback goes down, you know, come. But you want to get a little bit more out of him than you know, besides a sixth or seventh pick or whatever they'll offer.
Right. Well, you know, it was also pretty impressive the other day when he came in on one play and boom, threw a touchdown. You know, and we know he's going to throw touchdowns. To challenge him, like we always say, we also know he's going to throw interceptions, and he's going to throw pick six interceptions. So, but you know, I wish him enough. He's a big guy too. Oh, man, but at least you want to hear the you want to think about the irony in this, Papa Paul. What are your thoughts? All right, Jameis Winston, who is QB2, right? We're going to have an opportunity to make some. If it's true or if it happens, get something in return for training him. Yet we got zero for Saquon and we got zero for Daniel Jones.
That is crazy.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, finally, hopefully we're getting something or some draft picks, but yeah, I wish him nothing but the best, but I guess we should just get right into it. Byron, is that you ready? You biting at the chumps?
Yeah.
All right, let's get it on. Cowboys. I'm in shock. I did not believe that would happen. I really thought Jerry Jones was waiting to like burst the bubble of the Eagles on the Eagles game and sign the contract, taking away them getting their rings. So tell me, Byron, tell me your thoughts when you heard it. What do you think? Do you think they got enough for him? They got two first round pass picks plus a defensive tackle. What are your thoughts?
I don't think they got enough for him. They should have got more than that. You know, you're talking about a guy that's been all pro his first 4 years. He's a generational talent, you know, as far as edge rusher is concerned. And just to pretty much give away, because you figure they're trading him to Green Bay. Green Bay is going to finish, you know, in the 20s, you know, between the 20 and 32, you know, as far as, you know, picks. So they really, you know, okay, say next year, you know, they go to the playoffs and they get a 20, you know, 20, what is it? Like a 25th pick. So now, you know, you get a first round 25th pick, you know, next year. And then a year after, you know, Green Bay goes even further, you get a, like a 30, say they go to Super Bowl or close to the Super Bowl. You really gave away from nothing. Now, I'm not saying, you know, like Kenny Clark, you know, is a bad player, you know, because he's not. But they've always needed help at defensive tackle. So now you're going to trade your best edge rusher and get a tackle. So who are going to be the edge rusher? You know, they got Dante Fowler, and I forgot who the other guy's name is. That's what they have. They don't have anybody.
Papa Paul?
He's a hell of a player, and Green Bay's lucky to have him. Plain and simple.
I think it makes them an instant contender. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking, you know, he's, first of all, I'm just happy he's not in the NFC East. One, two, also the fact that Byron, this will give us a little, this helps you on the Giants winning the NFC East on your pick. Yeah. Because now we don't have to worry about him two times a year, and it gives Russell Wilson a little break. Cause you know, I'd be worried about him coming across all the time. Right. But Green Bay, I mean, you know, I think, you know, we said it before, they're one of the, they're them and Houston, hopefully CJ Stroud, you know, continues, you know, getting better. But, you know, I think Jordan Love has got to play well, but Green Bay has a good package with Micah being at that with the Packers. I think that's a good move for him. Number one. And number two, I agree. I two first round picks and a defensive tackle. I went, once I found out, Santiago, our producer, found, told me, I was like, that doesn't seem like a lot. I mean, it definitely wasn't a Herschel Walker trade. I think the Green Bay did a good job there.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'm thinking of two first-round draft picks, maybe putting them in a position to be able to say, hey, you know, how long is Dak signed for, right? Because they may have to start, you know, figuring out they're going to pay – they already pay him a lot of money, but they're going to have to figure out something for the future because, again, they're not getting past the first round in the playoffs in 20-something years. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's just, okay. I understand the fact that Jerry Jones, he owns a team. He was trying to be Jerry Jones. You know, I guess, you know, the reports were saying that he went and tried to negotiate with just Micah by himself without, you know, the agent. And then I guess it all blew up in their face and backfired, you know, as far as, you know, just what he did. And you know, he's 81 years old. You know, I get it. You know, he's the owner of the team. I get it. But this was bad. This is a bad move because they're really not. I can see if they traded him to say like a bottom tier team and, you know, you might get a top five pick, you know, over the next 2 years. But they didn't. They traded him to a team that's right on the edge. And the other edge rusher that Green Bay has is pretty, Rashawn Gary is pretty good from Michigan. And he's a New Jersey guy, too. So they're pretty good. They're not bad at all, you know, Green Bay. But it was just. It was a bet. Did we hear anything about the money? I think it was $188 million over 4 years or whatever it was, and $136 million guaranteed money. That's what from, the numbers that I saw.
For Micah?
Yes.
So what was it? How much for 4 years?
I think like a $188 million over four, and I think $136 guaranteed, something like that. It's some crazy. It's a lot of money.
So is he's the highest paid?
Yeah.
But how much? Let me see. Hold on. Oh. Well, Papa Paul, do you think they got enough for him?
No. No, they didn't come anywhere. They should have got more. I mean, two firsts and a defender. No, they should have got more.
Yeah, especially that guy is good. He played everywhere, right? It wasn't I can't find his numbers, Byron. He played everywhere. He played in, you know, from the middle to the edge to, you know, messy contract dispute. But Byron, but they traded him. Do you think your comments stated like there was a problem with him going directly? Why am I showing this? I like this. Like it's only me. I don't like that. What? Hold on. I'm trying to show us like I don't like that one either. There you go. Do you think because Jerry Jones did, I mean, Jerry has the power to whether to trade her or not. Do you think Micah said, trade me? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, the way you're making it sound, it's like, you know, because of what he did, that's why he made the trade.
No, he did ask for a trade like a couple of weeks ago. He did ask for a trade, Micah Parsons. And here it is, 4 years, $188
million. $47 million per year, $136 million guaranteed, with a total guaranteed sum of $120 million is fully guaranteed at signing.
Wow.
Wow.
Woo-wee. $120 million at signing?
At signing.
And then after that?
I heard $47 million a year.
Yeah, but it can't be $47 million a year plus 100 something at signing. Like they don't don't add up to 108. You know what I mean? That's way more than
his annual average value is $47 million per year. Is what it's saying.
Oh, okay. But he's guaranteeing 100 something million, correct?
He's guaranteed a total guarantee sum of $120 million is fully guaranteed at signing. He's got $136 million guaranteed, but $120 million of that is at signing.
Wow! Put your name on the paper.
God, signing your name, he's getting $137 million.
$120 million just signing it.
Man, I would love to what that feels like to get signed and then look at your bank account.
And the crazy, like with Green Bay is like unique because they don't have like the ownership. Yeah, you know, the people own
the team,
and that's what makes them so unique. You know, as far as, you know, the way they're set up, because they got the president of the team, you know, the GM or whatever, and you know, that's basically, you know, and they really don't report to anybody, you know, because they have the way it's set up. You know, now, you know, I'm sure they have like a stockholders meeting, let them know, you know, that, you know, you got $2 or whatever you got. I said, but they're very, somebody was talking about like this today, that the Packers usually go after somebody when they think they're on the edge. Like when they sign Reggie White, and then when they sign, you know, back in the day, and when they signed Rod Woodson, you know, they're right at the edge as far as going to a Super Bowl. And basically, right, this is the same thing, them getting Micah Parsons.
Interesting. So, by the way, DJ Mack is saying that if Pickens does well, they're going to have to pay him. So, you know, they're wondering if they're freeing up, you know, how much cap space are they freeing up by letting them go?
But listen to what, let's see, George Pickens.
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
I take Micah Parsons all day long.
It doesn't make sense what he did at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm dying to hear what tomorrow's going to be like. It's going to be on fire tomorrow. You know, all the sports shows are going to be on fire tomorrow. One, I think they're going to – I can't imagine what Michael Irvin is saying. Because remember, Michael Irvin called out Jerry Jones right in front of him, right? He goes, I like Jerry a lot better if he signs Micah. And now he traded him.
Jerry Jones might not let Michael Irvin into the cookout. It might be the other way around.
47 million. Okay, so here we got Ali telling us, with Dak under contract, over 106 million in dead cap space for the next two seasons, should Dallas really look to get Arch Manning sweepstakes with the draft capital? That's what I was thinking. Remember, I was saying the same thing, where, you know, maybe they're looking at, okay, I still think it's bad. So we're clear, right? But I think, you know, having two first round draft picks, you know, are they looking for that next quarterback? I mean, because Dak's contract has got to be coming up pretty soon, no? And how old is he? And I don't think you're going to pay him any more than $50 or $60 million as you're already paying him.
He's already getting 60 now.
And then again, another DJ Mack saying, if Jerry doesn't see, you know, everyone's got some good arguments here. If Jerry doesn't see a Super Bowl next 4 years, why pay Micah? Problem with that is, does Jerry have 4 years of life left?
Whoa, we can't say that.
Listen to me. He's lived more life than he has left. He's 81. God, I hope he lives until 155. Don't get me wrong. I'm not wishing anything bad on Jerry. I'm just saying to you, he's 81. Right? I mean, he's 81. mean, 4 years from now, he's 85. I mean, that's pushing.
But this dude,
Chris Knight's contract is good through the 28th season.
Who?
Prescott, Dak.
2028 season.
Yeah.
So three more years.
He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, three more years. That's true. If Jersey sees Super Bowl, okay, you can say that about number 47, you can say, I don't know what that means. Anyways, that's big news. By the way, I'm here at the Tower Club downtown Fort Lauderdale, and one of the people here is a Packer fan. So I was like, hey, I got to hurry up and go do my podcast. He goes, oh, did you hear about the trade? He's like, oh, you pack? Come on the show. Tell us what you think. He goes, I'm happy. He goes, I think we're a Super Bowl contender right now. Hey, look, I'm happy for Micah. He got paid. I'm happy for Green Bay, but I'm happy for NFC East because, you know, it makes it a little bit easier for our quarterbacks not facing Micah Parsons. You guys agree?
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Anything else on this? We can move on.
Have you watched the Dallas Dynasty thing they got on, I think it's Netflix or wherever?
I try not to watch anything Dallas.
Oh my God. I sit there and watch that, man. You can see where, man, all the fingers, you know, all the fingers point back at him. Every last one of them on the
point
whole
to
thing,
who?
Jerry Jones is just the things that he's done. You know, you figure, like, you know, Emmitt Smith, you know, when he missed two or three games back in the day, you know, when he was fighting, whatever.
He sat out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for two, three games. Then, you know, bringing Parcells, and, you know, you figure he right the ship. You know, he basically chased, you know, Bill Parcells, you know, out of there. And, you know, then him not putting, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, in the Ring of Honor, you know, for 30 years. Because, you know, he still, you know, had a grudge about, you know, Jerry Jones basically saying, oh, well, I pulled that trade off, you know, with Herschel Walker and blah, 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 and whatever. And all the fingers, he's the one constant is Jerry Jones that has run that team into the ground. And there's nothing anybody can do about it because it's his team.
And it's the is the most valued team in football.
Yeah.
Which is what I don't understand.
He's a good marketer.
I get it. I mean, Dallas itself was a good marketer. I mean, Dallas has always been up there, right? But it's just I'm just curious. Where's the value? I'm going to research for next week. You know, where do they come up with the value of the teams, right? And how they rank it? Is it concessions? Is it what you own? Is it branding? Is your name? Is it search? Is it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, to be such high valued as a team and not, you know, not be in a championship game since VHS, that's a problem.
Oh, man.
Now, think about it. Since beta, since VHS, you have not been in the playoffs. So, but anyhow. I always said, Byron and Papa Paul, I always said, as long as Jerry Jones is still running that team, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. Period.
Yeah. This is what they say with the factors influence team value. They said business operations, market size, ownership strategies, revenue streams. Those are the four things that influence a team value.
You know, Dallas is because of the years that they won, obviously more, you know, when you win, more people are going to be fans, right? So, and then his stadium seats, he's the largest NFL stadium, the largest NFL stadium in the league. So I guess that comes into fact. All right, let's get some, and then we're going to break to commercial a little bit. So let's break to a little, let's talk a little bit about Mr. the Dolphins here for Papa Paul. Dolphins have signed cornerback Rasul Douglas and waived safety Jordan Colbert. Any thoughts on that? Pop a ball.
Well, I'm fine with that. We needed a cornerback more than we needed a safety in a lot of ways. Rasul Douglas, he had a bad year last year, but he's still young and he can probably help us out quite a bit.
All right. Byron?
All I want to know is, from Mr. Papa Paul, is that head coach on the hot seat?
Yes. As far as I'm concerned, yes.
Yep. And as it relates to this here, what they're saying is that the safety position is, again, like we said, running backs, but the safety position is starting to get dwindled down more. It's going to be more cornerbacks than having safeties. Just because, you know, most teams are running spread offenses and so forth. Safeties are usually just, you know, and I'm being a safety, you know, we were more, you know, clogging up the holes, covering, you know, double covering for the corners, you know, giving them safety. We were the safety net. Think about it, right? You'd have, we're the last guy besides Zebra, the ref, right? But now, you know, with cover two, you know, they're not really playing, you know, a single safety anymore. So they're going more towards light leaning towards a lot more cornerbacks. And I could see them saying, hey, we got, especially at AFC East, right? I mean, you got a division that you got Josh Allen there, Jets are the Jets, but you know, you got the Patriots that, you know, throwing short passes or running. And it's not like there's no major power run team in the AFC East. I mean, AFC East. Would you agree, Papa Paul?
No, I agree.
So if you ain't got a dominant running team, you better get some cornerbacks, because cornerbacks are going to be faster than safeties, right? And you can bring them up. So I think it's good there. And listen, I agree with let me just make sure. While I agree with your thoughts on safety Weaver, they like the hybrid. Oh yeah, he was saying. Yeah, Ali says. Well, I agree with your thoughts on safety Weaver, like hybrid safety linebacker type players. That's true. I think what will happen is you're going to have faster safeties. That's what the University of Miami should do back in the heyday. Remember that, Papa Paul?
They
would get linebackers and they would make them play defensive line. That's why they were so fast, right? And then they'd have the defensive back and safeties bulk them up and move them at linebackers, and then they would have speedsters and the cornerback, defensive back, and the secondary positions. So they had so much speed because they were putting the players, moving them up and bulking them up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying like the hybrid linebacker safety, yeah, but you'd have to bulk up more, right? You bet, because you know you got some. He got some big backs, right? You can't be your normal safety. To play linebacker, you got to put on some. You got to put on a little bit of weight, keep your speed, right?
Well, we have Fitzpatrick back, so
you got who?
Fitzpatrick,
the quarterback.
Mika Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick did play for you guys, the quarterback. Now he's in the ready room. But yes, I agree with that. Let's go, NK Needman. NK, let's see. Most valuable. Okay, so Tantea, most valuable team in the world is Dallas Cowboy. By the way, Papa Paul, you're getting a shout out from Crazy Dolphin.
Yep, he's a good friend.
All right, good. And the other thing is, so do you think NFC? Do you think Dolphins are going to have a chance at the wild card?
My personal opinion, I want them to prove me wrong, because my personal opinion right now, I still don't see us getting more than 6 wins.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just don't see it. They haven't shown me anything different. They haven't shown me anything that to change my mind. We lost a lot of good players this offseason, and We have a tough schedule to start with, you know, 3 division, 4 conference games right off the bat.
Wow. Yeah, you know, the NFL is so quick to throw out praise. Like, McDaniels was thought to be this nerdy genius, right? And it just seemed to dissipate fast. Like, you guys were there. I mean, you were there. You had it, right? And it just didn't fall your way. And I'm still, Paul, we talked about this several times when I came on your show, that I think you without getting the tight ends involved in the game, it's gonna hurt you. You know,
we have right now, believe it or not, we've said, you know, our O-line's been the weakest link. Well, right now, our tight end is the weakest link on our team.
Your tight end is the weakest link on your team, right?
Yeah.
And you got rid of some good tight ends. You got the guy. I like that guy. What was it, Gesicki?
Just so Papa Paul, he has Darren Waller is down there with the Dolphins now. Just you know, so everybody knows. I think Waller, and they just signed the one that we waived the other day that used to be with Denver. Dolchik, I think his name is, another tight end for the Giants.
Yeah.
But you had the tight end, what was it, G-I-E-S-K-E?
Gesicki.
I liked him.
That was a few years ago. I loved Gesicki.
But they got rid of him. And that's when your offense was running well.
It goes back to same old days, just like when we had Wes Welker and we got rid of him.
Yeah. That was it, man. That was a great one for the Patriots, let me tell you.
You know who doesn't get any love on that team and people never talk about? Jalen Waddle. I think he's a great any other team, he'd be a one.
I think he's a great receiver. I like him.
I think he's right there. I look at him as a one, really.
Over Tariq?
Yeah.
Well, they're not treating him that way.
No, they're not, but
they're not treating him that way. I mean, that poor kid, he's not that big, and he goes over the middle and he catches that ball.
Yes, I know. I know.
He's not a big guy, and I like him. You're right, Byron. I forget about him until you mention him. I forget about him until I see him play. Yeah, that's because Tyreek's mouth is running all the time. And that's a problem. Tyreek always wants the attention on him, you know. He leaves Kansas City. Throw shade on Patrick Mahomes, right? And then goes there, causes problem, wants a trade, goes back, wants his contract renewed. I mean, you know, that becomes a problem. And the guy's talented, don't get me wrong, but, you know, these receivers, you know.
Waddle's been hurt a lot off and on during the year and all. Nothing season ending, but he's been hurt quite a bit, playing hurt and stuff like that.
Oh, L.I. said we lost him at Waddle because he dropped three game-changing passes for the playoffs in the Buffalo Bills. You know, that's true. But, you know, hey, like Tyreek Hill's dropped passes, right? Yeah. My ball, he dropped them dead in his hands, dropped them. So, I mean, you know, people are going to drop passes. Waddle also takes the ball away. He gets hit a lot more than Tyreek Hill does.
He gets hit a lot harder than Tyreek Hill does.
A lot harder than Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, you know, and Waddle's not big.
I like Waddle. He's not big.
He's quiet. You don't hear anything about him.
No, he is. He's very quiet. But he's a team player at least.
Yeah.
And you guys have Darren Waller listed as the number one tight end. Hopefully he make it through the season.
Boy, this is what we got from Crazy Dolphin. Tight end is Hill, Connor, Waller, and Dulcich.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that we just cut, the Giants.
So they got two of our players.
Yeah. And, you know, Hill's a good blocker. I don't want him going out in the middle trying to catch a ball. Connor's a good blocker, but they're not a Jonnu Smith like we had last year.
Right. And then I got Ali saying to pronounce this guy's name. Gesicki could not block. Okay.
No, but he could catch a ball.
Yeah, but and my point being is your offense wasn't built on a tight end blocking. Your offense was a quick offense. It was all throwing. Yes or no, pop a ball. It was throw the ball.
But
sometimes that hurt you. You guys scored so fast, you gave the ball to the other team. I'm sorry?
That's what McDaniels wanted, was blocking tight ends.
Right. And how'd that work out? Okay. And my problem was when you guys were on fire offensively, right? I just love tight ends. Giants have always won with a tight end. And when you get a tight end, it changes the game. I mean, look at Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, just in preseason, I know it's preseason, but he's throwing a couple passes to his tight end. Look at Brady. Who is Gronk made a big difference, no?
Oh, yeah, I know. You're not telling me something I don't know.
No. I'm having it for discussion. It's not about – I'm not telling you what you don't know. It's more for the listeners. It's more for Ali. You know, he wanted a blocking tight end. I kind of understand to protect Tua, but at the end of the day, you know, those tight ends that slip out and catch the ball make a difference. And this guy caught several touchdown passes, and he's doing pretty well. Where is he at now? Was he at Baltimore? Gesicki?
Oh. I think he was in New England, and I think he's at Baltimore now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah,
but,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, but the Dolphins do have Darren Waller now. He'll catch a pass. Yeah, Darren Waller catch a pass. Don't ask him to block anybody, but, you know, he'll catch the pass for you.
Who?
And
Waller? Yeah, but that he's got to stay healthy. He's never healthy.
Yeah, we got to bring back our word. Fragile. He's fragile.
He's fragile. That's right. We haven't said that a lot. He's fragile. He's fragile. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't understand what's going on there. So, hold on a second. Let me see. That's why I need Santiago, because I don't know how to play our sponsor break. But, all right. So, let me see what he's got in the banner, and I get to the – Santiago, if you're there, I don't know, get the commercial. Okay. Ravens here. Look at this. I guess I was wrong. Signed 4-year safety Kyle Hamilton for a 4-year, $100 million extended, highest paid safety. So I stand corrected, right? I did say, Brian, how many times I said it? Safety's going to get – I mean, defensive backs are going to get paid. So apparently I'm off on the safeties. Maybe I'm wrong on the safeties because I was understanding that safeties were really kind of walling down. They wanted more cornerbacks. But if a guy gets paid $100 million, I'm back to defensive backs will get paid. My whole claim to fame was when all these receivers got paid. My thing is now the defensive backs got to get paid.
I remember you talking about that.
My defensive backs got to get paid because, you know, you're not going to tell me to cover this guy that's making – double the money. I mean, at $25 million, at least you're close to a guy who's making 33 and 37. You're not going to get paid as much as a receiver, but you know, you're not going to pay me one third of what a receiver is paying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, but that's a lot of money. It's $25 million a year for a safety, and I'm telling you, for me, my understanding, safeties were going down. Santiago Gesicki is with the Bengals. Okay, that's a perfect example. Now you got Burrow, Gesicki, and his other two receivers. I think that's going to be a challenge for other teams.
Gesicki made more one-handed catches than a lot of players I've seen.
I'm sorry. I like Gesicki. I'm sorry. Blocking, no blocking, I liked him. And he scored touchdowns with the other teams he's with. By the way, crazy Dolphins and McDaniel got rid of Farrell Brown, a nasty blocking tight end. So now he had a good blocking tight end. He got rid of him.
Don't ask me.
Get it, Byron.
That probably explains why Mike McDaniel is on the hot seat. Just some of the moves that they're doing.
Well, he's on the hot seats because the team has downgraded since they were at the peak. For a dedicated Dolphin fan like Papa Paul, to feel the way he's feeling, you know, you can't be a true fan and feel that way and expect that he's totally opposite every game. There's a problem there.
Chris Greer, in his own words, said we are in a reset. Not a rebuild, a reset.
Wow. Huh. I'm trying to find Yeah, I can't find it. All right, it doesn't matter. Well, anyhow, we'll see what happens. It's sad because you guys were a fun offense to watch, in my opinion. You know, you were a fun offense to watch.
I'm sorry. And we need to start off at least 3-1 if we want to have any chance of a winning season.
All right, well, let's go through that in a few minutes. All right, well, first I want to play this commercial from our sponsor, Solvol Global, and their product, HireFinder. 1 second, please. Sponsored by Solvol Global. They got a great service called HireFinder.
HireFinder makes hiring simple, fast, and affordable. For as little as $999 a month, you'll have access to a top-tier team of professional recruiters dedicated to finding you the best talent quickly and cost-effectively. Whether your business doesn't have a recruiting team or your current team is overwhelmed, struggling to find top candidates, or unable to hire fast enough, HireFinder becomes an extension of your team, becoming the best ally for all your recruiting needs.
All righty. Thank you, Solvol Global, and our sponsor, HireFinder. All righty, Jim, let's get back to the show. All right, let's move on a little bit. Papa Paul, anything else, any other breaking news or anything you want to bring up with the Dolphins while we're here?
We have our opening weekend in Indianapolis.
And standing game, Jones.
Yeah, but I don't see a problem with that. It's going to be a tough game being in Indianapolis, but I think we still should be able to win it. But if we're anything worse – if we're 2-2 or worse after 4 weeks, I don't see us winning, but maybe four more.
Yeah, because y'all got the Patriots, the Bills, the Jets, and the Panthers.
Let me call you back, sis.
Hi, sis. Shout out to Papa Paul's sister. All righty, we got here. So look who here is. Vikings reunited with Adam Thielen as a trade with the Panthers. Let me tell you, the Vikings, they're stacking up. I mean, he's doing a good job over there, that coach. Little Kyle. Yeah. I mean, he's doing a really good job. Let's see what J.J. McCarthy does there. But to have Sam Darnold, I mean, I'm excited about this season to see – to see these expensive quarterbacks, see how well they play.
And guess who J.J. McCarthy's backup is?
Who?
Carson Wentz.
Oh. Man, let me tell you something. I'm sorry. Carson Wentz is – he's a myth to me like Jameis Winston, right? Because the guy has all the tools. He's got the skills. He just doesn't, you know, he just can't win. He just doesn't seem to. Do you think it's him running a team? Is it that he doesn't get the respect from? What do you think, a guy with that kind of talent? Why do you think he hasn't been successful?
Bad luck. Just bad luck.
Man, he's been on a lot of teams that have bad luck that many times.
Yeah, it's possible. You figure, he was with the Eagles. He had got that big, giant contract, you know, before, you know, they went to the Super Bowl. He gets the money, was at an MVP level, got hurt his knee, lost his job. Nick Foles comes along, you know, and the rest is history, you know, with them. And then now he's just sort of – he's been with a lot of teams. He's bounced all over the league.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Carson, yeah, but he just doesn't matter where he's at. He doesn't seem to, you know, hey, he's getting paid, so I'm out at the end of the day, but doesn't seem to, you know how it is. I mean, just some of those quarterbacks come in and make a difference in the team, right? It's just their mental thought, their ability to play. I mean, you know, Eli wasn't a vocal guy, but guys like playing with him.
Yep.
You know, they like playing with him. They said he had the same face all the time. He'd be yelled at, not being yelled at. Never changed. Always just calm, cool, and collected. All righty. And I want to keep it. So, okay, so here's a good one. Rasheed Rice is suspended for 6 games for his role in a car crash last year. That's crazy. What's wrong with these guys? Are they just young and stupid? I mean, like, what's wrong? Let me ask you something, Byron. In our Papa Paul, you too. All of us are relatively within same age range, right? Think about it. How many NFL players have died in car accidents? It's a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it they're not learning? Like, you know, you got money, you got a fast car. That's great. Go on a track. Go on a NASCAR. Go on, do something. You want to drive fast, go track. But don't drive fast on public roads. And the sad part is, and thank God, I mean, it's sad that the guys are dying driving a car, no doubt. But at least they're not, you know, not at least, but how can I put this? They're not hurting other people. They seem to always be in single car accidents and dying.
Yeah. Well, the one with the Raiders killed somebody. So
no, but he killed the passenger. He didn't kill somebody else, is what I'm saying.
Oh, the guy killed somebody else.
Oh, he did. I thought the guy was in the car with him.
Oh, no. He killed somebody else, a young lady.
And he died.
No, he's alive. He's in prison right now. He should be getting out pretty soon.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he's getting out if he did kill somebody driving. I mean, to me, Byron, you were a police, you were a sheriff. If I try to hit you in my car, I get charged with a lethal weapon, trying to hurt you with a lethal weapon, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference if you kill someone with a car? Didn't you kill them with a lethal weapon?
Yeah. No, it varies by state, you know, as far as, you know, what they're going to charge them with. That's, you know, it's not, every state is different as far as when they're going to charge somebody with a vehicle.
But my understanding of the law, as a police officer, if I try to hurt you, and if say, hey, I don't hit you, but I tried, attempted, I was attempted to hurt a police officer with a lethal weapon, being the car.
Right. Yep. Yeah. The crazy thing with this whole thing with these young guys is that when they first come in the league, they have this symposium where, you know, they bring somebody in that, you know, has been, you know, crazy situations, whatever, and talk to these guys. Well, hey, man, you know, don't do what I did. This is what's going to happen, you know, when you do this. And they tell these guys at the beginning of the season, and you still have maybe 2 or 3 that do something crazy in a car, or, you know, or a gun or this or that. It doesn't make sense when you got all this knowledge, you know, right there at your feet, and they just don't use it. They go out there and do something dumb. I don't understand.
Well, I think what they should do is what I think they should do is put a video reel together of showing the accidents of the result of these guys. Like, scare them. Scared Straight. Remember Scared Straight growing up, Byron?
Yeah.
Showing video clips of what the wreckage looked like of these former NFL players that died in an accident. Scare them. Show them guys that ended up in jail for this. Show them, like, you got to show them these accidents.
They're 22, 23 years old. They don't believe anything's going to happen to them. That's what it is. They don't believe nothing.
But you know.
They're invincible at that age.
If you show them a video clip, like have a reel of all these guys, if you think this cannot happen to you, this is the same thing these guys thought. It's almost like those cigarette commercials. You ever see those commercials now where the person's smoking and they're, you know, really messed up and they're trying to, I mean, that those commercials freak me out. So, it feels bad to see young players, young people, young sons young sons dying with a gift that, like, you know, people would pray to have, right? Playing in the NFL. I mean, Papa Paul, wouldn't that have been a great thing for you?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Byron, you at least experienced it for several years. That would have been my dream.
But it doesn't make sense that, you know, this is what they need to do. Okay. Like, the Scared Straight program that they had back in the day, you know, and when they go to trial, they do show pictures of, you know, whatever wreck that, you know, they've caused or whatever problem. They need to go like every step. All right, go to the hospital, you know, when, whatever they're working a person, show them that, you know, what they caused. Then, you know, if they pass away, whatever, take them, let them see an autopsy. If you want to see something and smell something, let them go in a, during an autopsy of a person and see, you know, that the smell and the sight of them doing something to a person that they, you know, injured. A lot of them might, you know, they might think twice about, you know, doing anything else great, but they need to do, they need to, like you said, they need to shock these guys.
Yeah, it's true. That's, yeah, Benny was telling me, like, when he was police officer, one, he liked cigars, because one of the reasons he also smelled cigars is because when he had to go into, you know, to see, you know, somebody who was passed, right, that the smell, like, he wanted to get that away from him. So, you know, the cigar smoke with, besides him liking smoking cigars, because one of the reasons he picked up the cigar smoke was because of getting that stank off you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so we'll see. Hey, what about the Commanders? Let me tell you, I'm telling you, I picked my Papa Paul, I picked the Commanders to win the NFC East. And look, they signed Terry McLaurin, got his money, 3 years, $96 million, another $36-something million a receiver, which is why the defensive backs need to get paid. But I think they're going to be good. I think the reason why I'm picking them, because I think they're going to be good. I like their coach. I like the quarterback. I think they got a young defense, and I'm playing the odds. In 20 years, no one has won back-to-back the NFC East. So I picked the Commanders. Byron picked the Giants. As much as I'd love the Giants to pick, I just don't know if they can get up to that pass. It doesn't mean that the Washington may go further than the Eagles, because I still think the Eagles are a good team. I think the Eagles are still the best team in the NFC East. It's just I'm going with the numbers. Right, nobody has won it in 20 years unless the Eagles busted. But I always feel the Eagles always have something wrong with the locker room. I don't know if it's the coach. I don't know what's going on. I know Saquon changed that, but what are your thoughts, Papa Paul? Like, if you had to pick someone to win the NFC East, who you picking? Knowing that the Eagles won it last year.
No, right now I honestly would go with the Commanders.
So, and why?
I like their quarterback. I like what I've seen out of them, and they're still a young team.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's how I feel. And I'm also going with the odds, right? 20 years, no one's won it back-to-back. Unless that changes. Like, you know, until someone dethrones Patrick Mahomes, I'm still going with him to win that division. You know, I don't care. By the way, there is some news that's pretty interesting. I'm trying to find that the Browns traded Kenny Pickett to the Raiders.
Poor guy. Oh, he getting traded again. Good Lord, poor guy.
Kenny, but doesn't that move up Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, he's a number three
quarterback. He's not number three.
Yeah.
Right? Here. Browns trade Kenny Pickett. So that puts Shedeur at number three.
Yep.
Right. And but Shedeur didn't look too good the last timeout.
Yeah. Got sacked five times. Yeah. He looked like he was running for his life when he first got to Colorado. That's what he looked like out there. And he didn't look good at all. But, you know, he was out there with guys that I think all of them got cut, you know, during the last cut, you know, as far as offensive line. So he wasn't out there with the best, but still, you know, if you know you got a bad line, get the ball out your hand.
I think the Browns traded him also, traded Pickett also, because remember we were saying they got four quarterbacks. Someone's got to go. Right? What do you got? Flacco? You got Flacco? You got Deshaun Watson? Right?
No, it's Dylan Gabriel's the number two quarterback.
Dylan Gabriel. What happened to Watson? Gone?
He's on injured reserve for the year. Yeah, he hurt Achilles.
He got 200-something million up front, didn't he?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
That has by far got to be the worst contract.
No.
And that's who do you think's worse?
Come on. You know what I'm going to say. Come on.
No, go ahead. Tell me.
What I usually say, you know, that guy, Kirk Cousins, the one that keeps getting contracts.
But Kirk Cousins gets paid, but at least gets you to the playoffs. He just doesn't win them. Deshaun Watson has been on a team, and he hasn't played a full season. I don't think that they're even close in comparison. At least he got hurt. Kirk Cousins gives you plays. He's playing time. Papa Paul, if you're going to pay someone, you're going to pay him to play, yes or no?
True.
The guy hasn't played a full season.
It's not his fault he keeps getting hurt, man. That's part of the game.
Bro, he also did bad. It's not that it's his fault. They replaced him.
Allegedly did bad. Allegedly.
$230 million was his contract.
And whose fault is that?
No, that's his. No, that's what he sold his home for. Sorry. Contract. Deshaun Williams' announcement that delays $130 million contract decision. Deshaun Watson's contract is still insane versus Josh Allen. Deshaun Watson's contract is still insane versus Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. So compared to those guys, he got a 2022 reigning MVP. Buffalo Josh Allen got most of the headlines this past offseason with his new contract extension, 6 years, $330 million, with $250 million guaranteed, right? $250 million guaranteed finally supplanted Watson's fully guaranteed of $230 million. So he had $230 million guaranteed. But it took until now that an MVP dethroned that. And Watson wasn't an MVP.
He had a good agent.
He had a Kirk Cousins agent?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
They said Watson is out for the year.
He re-injured the Achilles that he was out the first time for.
$230 million, and you didn't play a season. Why do the Chief players get – Santiago, why do Chief players get in trouble a lot? I mean, how many of them really get in trouble? I mean, I don't – other than Rasheed Wallace recently, who else?
They've had quite a few little stuff.
I think, you know, how you guys were saying that the 22-year-olds think they're untouchable. I think that when you're if you're playing for the Chiefs, you've been in the championship so many times that you think you're above the law. That's the only thing I can think of. Right? Because, you know, you pretty much dominate that town, you probably can get away with a lot of stuff over in Kansas City. And Kansas City fans are great. They love their fans. They love their Chiefs. Over there, that's a good town. My buddy got rest of his soul. Remember Byron when we started Pelham McDaniels? He loved Kansas City. He said it was one of the greatest places he's played. I mean, he played there for 7 years, but he played in Atlanta. But Kansas City, they say, you know, people love playing for Kansas City.
Here are the things some of the play like Rasheed Wallace got in trouble for something. Wanda Morris, an offensive tackle, was arrested for marijuana possession, allegedly. Xavier Warren, forgot about him, arrested for a felony domestic violence charge in March 2025, allegedly. Isaiah Bugs, a defensive lineman in 2024, was arrested multiple times before he got released, allegedly, for animal cruelty and domestic violence. Yeah, they've had a situation. That's a lot of players, man, on one team.
Let me see. That's a lot of players, right? Santiago, how you know that? Let me put something down here. But I have no idea. Let me see. I'm trying to look at that.
Then these guys, if you look at them, a lot of them are domestic violence. Dude, what's so hard about keeping your hand? You know, you don't know if the girl's lying. I'm going to sit there, they're lying about whatever happened. But keep your hands to yourself and walk away. Walk away. Don't sit there and do, you know, whatever you're doing. Just walk away. Man, I can't tell you how many times I saw that. She disrespected me, and then you slapped the girl in the mouth or whatever. Like, come on, man. You're going to jail for that.
Yeah, I mean.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, I don't, not especially for as a woman. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, But let me tell you, Byron, I will tell you this, you know, as we're starting to wrap up a little bit, you know, coaching Pop Warner in some of the areas where I don't want to say where, but when Nick Boza played and so forth, I coached, you know, I called my buddy Pelham, again, God rest his soul. And some of these coaches are rough. And they coach so hard. I mean, there was a show, you mean, like here in Miami, that they show so little respect for these kids at such a young age. And they think that they're toughening them up and so forth. I just think that when, if you're not show a young man no respect, he grows up not giving respect. You know what I mean? So now you go from this 6, 7, 8 year old kid that you're just dressing down, and he's built that in his head. Now he becomes 6'3", 6'5", you know, gargantuan muscle dude. He doesn't have respect for other people. You know, and it's the parents who, you know, that got to watch that. I mean, I moved my son from one team to another because I was on the sideline. My son was like maybe 6, 7 years old. And this kid, you know, sucked his teeth because his mom said something and she just smacked him in front of everybody.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, we left the team. I didn't want my kid to be around that. So I just think that, you know, in some of these inner city schools, these coaches got to teach them a little bit more respect as young kids, because then they become men. There's a show I got to see about this guy from Miami, this football player, phenomenal, and went to University of Florida, but got into all kinds of trouble. Was throwing, I mean, he was just massive, but was throwing kegs out windows, was very aggressive. You know what I mean? It just, you know, if you treat someone that way, they grow up to not respect other people. Now they're just big, strong people not showing respect. What are your thoughts on that, Papa Paul?
They depends on how they were raised, as far as I was concerned, but they need to respect everybody until respect is not deserved anymore.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, I mean, I've seen parents that were always constantly yelling at their kids, and then by the time the kids got older, they started yelling back.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just talking about yelling. Forget about the other stuff, right? And then we're gonna end this show with this before we listen to Papa Paul. You can tell us how we get a hold of you. The Kelce Swift continues on. They got engaged. The Swifties and the Kelces, they're engaged. So let's see. It seems like that's a real deal there. And she was on their show, and she was like, she didn't know that she didn't know anything about first downs. She didn't know anything about football. She's bringing big, big, big fan base to the NFL, though. You got to give her credit.
Yeah.
Well, especially considering Kelce's jersey sales increased 50% over the past week.
Wow. But before that, it increased.
Just, I'm talking about ever since the engagement.
50%. Oh my God. I'm telling you, that's Swift group. It ain't something to mess around with. I mean, she's bringing exposure. She's bringing a new crowd to the NFL.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The NFL should pay her. But anyhow, Papa Paul, how can our listeners hear about your show? How can they get a hold of you? Tell us a little bit about that.
WCFL Dolphins Talk. We are now on YouTube on the TFTG channel. YouTube, Twitter, all under TFTG, the Finns Tailgate. Wednesdays nights at 8 p.m., Sundays mornings at 10 a.m., so you can catch us that way any day of the week, you know, anytime. There's always the recordings you can look at, watch them too.
All right, awesome. And then we'll have the link in below. So you click on the link so you can go and see the WCFL Dolphin and enjoy their show. They have a lot of good people on their show. They talk a lot about the league. They talk Dolphin. If you're a true Dolphin fan, it's a good show to be on. But they talk about the NFL around the league too. I've been on their show, And it was a great group you have there. All righty. We're about to wrap this up. Mr. Byron Jones, anything else happening there?
No, we're getting ready to start our season, man. Prospect Park Termites. A fabulous name.
Termites,
yeah. Termites, man. That's what it is. They've been around 50 years.
Are you playing against wood?
No. But anyway, the program has been around a long time. You know, it's a lot of great people, you know, coaches and everything. We don't do all that yelling and screaming and, you know, dressing the kids down. You know, the parents are great. You know, they're very supportive, you know, their kids. So our season starts next Saturday for our first home game.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And also for any of your recruiting and staffing needs, don't forget about Solvo Global. Click the link below. We have a link to a site and get you some more information. Gentlemen, you have a great night. Welcome again. Don't forget Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Like us on all your channels and smash the like button. It's the show. If you like the show, we're getting ready for the season. I'm getting excited, guys. You guys excited? When's the college start? Start Sunday or start already?
Started already.
Well, I know Miami plays Sunday.
Big game this weekend. Come on, man. Ohio State, Texas.
Well, Miami, Notre Dame also.
USF is playing tonight.
Oh, wow. So we got some games going on. All right. We'll take it from there. All right, gentlemen, you have a great night. I'm about to hit the outro, and we will go from there. Take care. God bless.
God bless you.
Byron, I want to ask you a question. Vonda posted something with like helicopters. She did something new, or is that what she did in the past?
No, that's what she's been doing with Boeing over here.
Is she still doing it? What is she doing?
14 years. Yeah, she's still doing
it. What is she doing with
them? She's the quality manager to make sure that the thing doesn't fall apart.
Really? Interesting. I met a lady the other day here at the tower with Sasha. She's like one of those super brainiac people. She's doing like all the I don't know, either the technology or the software on the aviation of planes, on what happens when the crashes and so forth. So it's pretty interesting that you mentioned that. I wonder if maybe I'll connect those two together. All right, gentlemen, you have a good night. God bless, and we'll talk soon.